Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, this morning we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, and the title of my message is A New You in 2015. A New You in 2015, Philippians chapter 3. While you're turning there, I wanted to mention that next Sunday we're back in our normal series that we've been in for a time. It's called God Came Near, and it's really drawn from all four Gospels, and it's a chronological look at the life of Jesus. Normally, when you study the life of Christ through Matthew or Mark or Luke, you know, they each have their unique perspective, but when you blend all Gospels together, you get it sort of event by event, teaching by teaching, moment by moment. So we're back in that series next Sunday, but today, a special one-off message as we enter in to a new year. I mean, it's hard to believe another year has come and gone already. I'm still looking for my spaceship and my robot maid, because when I was a kid, I watched The Jetsons. Did anybody else watch The Jetsons? I thought, that's so cool. I want that. And that hasn't happened. I would settle for a hoverboard, like Marty McFly and Back to the Future. I want a hoverboard, something. Those things haven't happened yet. But it seems as you get older that time passes more quickly, doesn't it? It was C.S. Lewis who said, quote, "The future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does, whoever he is." So now that we're at the beginning of a new year, we can look back a little bit. And by the way, I love Christmas, but when Christmas is over, for me, it's over. I mean, I'm into Christmas all the way to Christmas Day. Next day, I don't want to hear any more Christmas music. And Christmas decorations are coming down. I do let my lights go for another week. But once New Year's is over, lights are off too. And trees gone. Now, some people, I don't know what the deal is. They keep their lights on for weeks after. To me, that's just wrong. Stop if you're one of those people. Turn the lights off. I don't know why. It's just a personal thing. But we look back on 1 year, that's in our rearview mirror. And we're looking forward now to another one. And we all wonder, what is this year going to hold? I don't know, but I know who's going to hold the year. I know God's in control. So that's a very hopeful thing. This year may bring promise and it may bring pain. It may bring triumph, it may bring tragedy. There'll be happy days, there'll be sad ones. But I enter into this year, like every year, with great hope in God, because I know that He is on the throne and He is in control of all things, including our lives. That's a very important thing to remember. You see, God has a plan. He always has a plan. Now, sometimes it may not appear as though He has a plan, but indeed He does. Daniel 4:35 says, God does as He pleases with the angels in heaven and also the people of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, what are you doing? But there are times we do say that. Lord, what are you doing? Are you paying attention? The answer is yes, He is. And He'll cause all things to work together for good to those of us that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. To me, it's a great relief to know that I am not a victim of the fickle finger of fate or dumb luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe in providence. I believe that God's in control of my life, and I believe that God is sovereign as well. So it's great to know that He has thoughts toward us. He has a plan for us. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God speaking, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But listen, sometimes those thoughts don't necessarily make sense. Again, the Lord says in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. What does that mean exactly? Well, what it means is we see things from a certain perspective. As human beings living in this place called Earth, we see the immediate, where God sees the ultimate. Our world is the here and now. God's plan is overall. God's plan is panoramic, and He is in control of our lives leading and guiding us, and he promises that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So as we enter into this new year, we wonder, can we actually change? You know, one of the big things people do at the beginning of a new year is they make their resolutions, right? How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand up. Wow, not that many. By the way, I haven't made any either. Why is that? Because we just break them. I read recently that every year 150 million Americans make New Year's resolutions, but only 8% keep those resolutions. So I don't think it's a bad thing to make a New Year's resolution. Just understand you probably aren't going to keep it necessarily. But I do believe as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that I should be thinking about my life and where I am at spiritually. A follower of Jesus Christ should always be taking stock of their life and think about what they can do to be stronger spiritually. Lamentations 3:40 says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, "Check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Or are you pretending to be Christians when you actually aren't at all?" In my drugstore that I go to, they have this little device you sit down in and you grab hold of these handles and it will tell you what your weight is and it will tell you what your blood pressure is. I like it because it's free. And so when I'm waiting, I'll sit down on this thing. The other day I sat down and it weighed me. And it said that, actually, I was surprised. I was weighing less than I thought I was weighing. So I was very happy. And then it comes up and says, "You're overweight." And I'm thinking, what do you know? But, you know, it's a way to sort of check up on yourself. Even better, I think, at the beginning of a year, it's a smart thing to go see a doctor, perhaps have a physical. We need to do the same spiritually. And we need to ask ourselves the question, am I as strong as I can be? And is God at work in my life? Well, he is if we'll help allow him to be. See, there's God's part and there's your part. If you want to change in this coming year, you can. But there's your part and there's God's part. Seems like there's two extremes in this topic. You know, some people believe that this is all human effort. You know, they say you got to get out there and do it for yourself and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And as the Bible says, God helps those who help themselves, right? Now, of course, the Bible does not say that, but they think it does. That's one extreme. Then the other extreme is sort of a kickback. Hey, God's the one who's going to do it. I have no role in all of this. Their favorite expression is, let go and let God. What does that even mean? Let go and let God. Just let go. I'm not going to work today. Just let go and let God. Now, what do you even mean? See, there is God's part and there's our part. And a verse that pulls it together perfectly is Philippians 2:13, where Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure." So here's our part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here's God's part. "For it is God that works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure." Now, what does that even mean? When we say work out your own salvation, it doesn't mean work for your salvation, because salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, is a gift of God to us. So I'm not working for it, but I'm working it out. A better way to translate that would be work it to full completion. You see, there is work involved in living the Christian life, as well as warfare and discipline. I mean, if you want to get in good shape physically, you work out. You don't sit out, you work out, right? There are things you need to do. And the idea that's being communicated by working it out is the idea of going into a mine and getting the gold. You know, back in the California gold rush of many years ago, people flocked from around the country, even the world, to our state looking for gold. They were told there's gold in the streets of California. And there was some gold to be found initially, but people came and quickly took it away. So for those that left discouraged, all they needed to do was get into the mines and keep digging. And hopefully they might find that mother lode The same is true in the Christian life. God has done so much for you, but you got to get into the mind, so to speak, and dig it out and start living it and start appropriating it. That's what our focus should be as we enter into a coming year. So let's read now the words of the Apostle Paul, and then we're going to talk about how you can be a new you in 2015. I'm reading from Philippians 3, verses 7 to 13. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Verse 11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on so I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brothers, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. We'll stop there. So the picture Paul gives us here is of a runner in a race. Now, how many of you like to run? Raise your hand. You like to run. You guys don't run and you don't make resolutions. What's going on here? Okay, how many of you hate to run? Raise your hand up. Okay, you're my people, aren't you? I understand that. Listen, I don't like to run at all. It's so bad, I don't even like to jog my memory. The other day I was going to the gym and I was stretching and bending and lifting. And I was just getting out of the car before I even went inside. But I go by the gym every day now. Every day, go by the gym on my way to Krispy Kreme donuts, but I digress. But listen, no matter how you do physically, I'm talking to you now about running the spiritual race and having transformation in your life. So let's talk about what we can do to see change in our lives in the coming year. Point number one, if you want to be a new you in the coming year, you need to run this race to win. You're in the race, run to win. I don't understand people that want to be half-hearted Christians. To me, it's like, why don't you just decide? I mean, you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. You don't want to be a Christian, don't be a Christian. I mean, forget it. Just go, do whatever you want, live how you want to live, and go to hell. I'm not telling you I want you to go to hell. I'm just saying that's what will happen. Or totally live for Jesus Christ. I'm talking whole hog, full tilt, 100%. But these people that want to live in two worlds, one person agrees, thank you, these people that live in two worlds, they have too much of the world to be happy in Christ and too much of Christ to be happy in the world. They're in a miserable no man's land of compromise. Don't be that person. Run this race to win. You know, over the years, I've seen people start this race well and then crash and burn. It's not enough to just start. You need to finish it. I went to one of my granddaughter's soccer games a while back, and you know, watching little girls play soccer is just hilarious. Starting with the names of their teams, like I think my granddaughter that was competing was part of the Purple Princesses. Does that sound like a threatening team? And indeed, they're out there playing. Some girls are quite good, others are more kickback. My little granddaughter Lucy, who just stopped in the middle of the field and was like picking a flower. It's like, you can't pick a flower. Play the game. But I was watching them for a while and I came a little bit late and I asked a lady there, what's a score? She turned to me and said, we don't keep score. Everyone's a winner. I'm like, oh, brother. Then some guy said, Purple Princesses are up by two. Yes, thank you. I don't like that idea of not keeping score, by the way. And in the Christian life, listen, God is keeping score. So we need to run to win. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, everyone who runs in a race runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run in such a way that you will win. And here's the thing that we want to keep in mind as we're running this race. We are not competing with each other. Our competition is not fellow Christians. Those are our allies. Those are our friends. Those are our family. Our competition is with the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we want to finish this race that we have begun and run to win. Number two, if you want to be a new you in 2015, get rid of the extra weight and the things that would hinder you. Get rid of the extra weight and the things that would hinder you. Paul says in verse 7, those things that were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, and I count them as rubbish, and I may gain Christ. I love that word in this translation, rubbish. You know, it's a nice way of saying trash. That you hear that in England. They say, oh, I don't agree with that, actually. I think it's just rubbish. It's rubbish. Well, actually, the word that Paul used originally was far harsher than rubbish or even trash. The word that Paul actually uses when he's saying those things that he's left behind would be better translated waste, dung, manure, or excrement, you see? It's a little harsher. Those things that I used to be so focused on, they mean nothing to me. Compared to my relationship with God, they are poop. That's what they are. And that really gives us the picture exactly. See, his encounter with Christ changed everything about him. And over in Hebrews, the writer says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you and run this race with endurance. So we don't want to take excess baggage on in the race of life, and we want to think about the people we hang around with and the things that we do. You know, there are some people when I am with them, if I have a meal with them, after the meal is over, they make me want to be more like Jesus. They encourage me. They build me up. We also have a lot of fun together, but they motivate me to be a more godly man. Then there are other people you can be around them, and they're just a drag. They're a spiritual drain. They're the ones that are not encouraging you at all. And I wonder, what person are you? When someone's around you, do you pull them up or do you drag them down? Are you a stepping stone or are you a stumbling block? See, running in this race of life, it's running to what is right and it's running away from what is wrong. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, and peace along with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. By the way, you don't have to be young to have youthful lusts. You can be older and still have youthful lust. You ever heard of a dirty old man or a cougar? Well, you see, don't live for those things, Paul is saying, but follow righteousness and faith and love and peace and enjoy the companionship of those that call on the Lord with pure hearts. So I think periodically it's a good idea to reevaluate what we are doing and who we are doing it with. And ask yourself the question, is this a wing or is it a weight? Is it speeding me on my way in the race of life or is it slowing me down? Is it building me up spiritually or is it tearing me down? You see, the author of Hebrews says, lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. What may be a weight to one person may not necessarily be a weight to another person. It's sort of like metabolisms. You know, we all are built differently. Some can eat whatever they want and never gain weight. By the way, I hate those people. No, I don't hate them. I admire those people. But I'm not one of them. And there were things I could do as a younger man I can't do today. As a younger man, I could eat anything I wanted, whenever I wanted, and it had no effect on me. I used to go to a place after church called Noggles. Anybody heard of Noggles? I heard there's a movement afoot. They want to bring Noggles back. I'm in. Okay. But the first Noggles actually started here in Riverside. And I used to go there every Sunday night after the service was over. And I shouldn't admit this to you, but toward the end of my message, I would be thinking, Knuckles, Knuckles, yeah. And there was a certain thing I got at Knuckles. It was called a macho combo burrito. What was that? That was everything imaginable in a tortilla. It was ground beef. It was tomatoes. It was sour cream. It was hot sauce. There were some beans in it. I don't know. They put lots of things in it. And it was huge. It was like the size of a sleeping bag, more or less. And I would eat that thing and loved it. I mean, I couldn't even consider something like that now. Not only is it too much to eat, but with all that hot sauce, I would have an acid reflux incident. See, the problem, I've gone from acid rock to acid reflux. It's sad. So maybe you will see another Christian doing a certain thing, and you'll say, well, if they're doing that, it must be okay for me to do too. No, we may have different metabolisms. What may be a weight to one may not necessarily be a weight to another. So instead of asking yourself the question, is this permissible or allowable for me as a Christian, ask yourself the question, does it build me up spiritually? Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. So here's what I would suggest to you instead of New Year's resolutions. How about this for a beginning? Let's take some of those old habits and replace them with good ones. Replace your old habits with good habits. It's been said that it takes 21 days for something to become a habit, good or bad. 21 days. You do it 21 days in a row, and that will become a habit. That's interesting. Hey, here's a thought. For those of you that have never been able to read through the Bible in a year, why don't you start with the Gospel of John? There's 21 chapters in John's Gospel. That's one chapter for every day. Do that 21 days in a row, and you'll have yourself a really good habit. See, in fact, that's what we all ought to be thinking about is starting tomorrow. Begin every day with the Word of God. Every day, start it with the Word of God. If you have to get up earlier, then do that. Psalm 1 says the wise man continues in the Word day and night. And that's what we all should do. We should have a regular habit of studying the Scripture. That would be a good way to begin. I think some of you know about our Harvest app for smartphones. How many of you have downloaded the Harvest app? Raise your hand. Some of you. Well, look, the Harvest app is just chock full of content. First of all, you get our daily devotion on it. And then we have a read through the Bible in a year plan. Then we have all of our Sunday morning messages, midweek Bible studies on there. We have the Crusades all archived that you can watch on demand. Plus, we have a little section where as you share your faith, it has answers to hard questions people may ask you and much, much more. Download it. It's available for the iPhone and for the Android phone. Some people say, what about the Windows phone? No. There's like four people that have them. I'm sorry. These are expensive to put together. And we offer them for free. So if more people get those phones, maybe we'll do one for them too. But for now, it's iPhone or iOS and Android. That'd be a good thing to download that. So start this year by saying every day I'm going to begin with the Word of God. Number two, start this year by saying I'm going to make church a regular part of my life. Not sporadic church attendance. I'm going to be there every Sunday unless I'm sick as a stinking dog. And if I'm that sick, I'll watch it online at least. But I'm not going to say, oh, I don't know, maybe we won't go to church today because there's a great swell. Let's go surfing or, hey, maybe we should go golfing or, no. You make Sunday the Lord's Day and you set it apart. That's a discipline. Some people say, well, you know, I'm just so over the church. You know what I'm over? I'm over people that say they're over things. I'm over the expression, I'm so over. So stop saying that, okay? And what do you mean you're over the church? How can you be over something that Jesus loves? The church is the bride of Christ. Don't be dissing the church or you're really offending the Lord. You know, when Paul was converted, then called Saul, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, why would Jesus say that to Paul? Because Saul, later to become Paul, was going out of his way to hunt down, arrest, and execute followers of Christ. Jesus says, you're persecuting me. When you mess with the church, you're messing with the Lord. And so we should love the church because Jesus loves the church. I was talking with a friend the other day and he invited someone to his church and the person said, well, I can't do that right now. I'm still healing. What? Shut up. What are you talking about? That'd be like somebody's injured badly. Well, go to the emergency ward. I can't. I'm healing. No, go to the hospital and then you will properly heal. Listen, the best place to be healed is in the church because you hear the word of God and you worship the Lord. And even better than just going Sunday morning, how about this? Start going to a midweek study. The women's study's cranking back up again. We call it Virtue. And this Wednesday at Orange County, and this Thursday at Riverside, they're starting back up again. They're going through the book of Acts together. My wife, Kathy, is speaking. She's a very good speaker, by the way, if I don't say so myself. And she's going to give a message with the title, I Love the Church, which I think is fantastic. So you girls that haven't been a part of Virtue, you could get in now, even if you weren't part of it before. And for the guys, we have a Bible study called Valor. And they're starting up also this week. Be involved in those studies. This is a great way to meet other people in the church and get into the word. And after the teaching, they get into these little groups and they discuss what they've learned together. It's fantastic. Or how about Pastor Jeff's midweek study here in Riverside? Or how about the midweek study I do in Orange County on Thursday nights? I'm starting a new series that is called Live, Love, Fight. And it's based on the book of Ephesians. Go to a midweek study. Do you honestly think at the end of a year, you're going to say, man, I wish I hadn't wasted so much time going to Bible studies? I don't think you'll ever say that. In fact, even Jesus, as an observant Jew, went to the synagogue on Sabbath. Luke 14:16 says he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Or you could just as easily say, as was his habit. He made a habit of being in the house of God. We should do the same. And starting tomorrow, make prayer a regular part of your life in this coming year. Again, Jesus, in addition to being in God's house, had a regular prayer life. Luke 22:29 says he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him and he prayed. As was his custom, as was his habit, make it a habit. And now, if you want to be a new you, number three, in this coming year, aim for success, not failure. Aim for success and not failure. Listen, God wants you to win. God wants you to succeed. God wants to bless you. So if you fail, if you stumble, that's not God's fault, that's your fault. You don't have to fail if you don't want to. The master artist Michelangelo once said, quote, the greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high, but in setting our aim too low and achieving it, end quote. That's a great statement. We aim too low. We have low expectations. We plan for failure, not success. Now I'm saying turn that around and do the best that you possibly can do in this coming year. And what is it that's motivating you? Paul gives the answer to that in verses 8 to 10. He says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Here it is, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul says, hey, here's what I'm about. I want to know God and the power of his resurrection. And the word that Paul uses there for know is a word in the Greek that speaks of knowing by experience. Paul didn't say, I want to just know about him. Though it's good to know about him and study his life, but even more, we want to know him and become more like him. But I think there's a lot of people running around that know about God, but they don't really know God. From time to time, people call the office and say, I want to talk to Greg. I'm actually one of his closest friends. So my secretary will call and say, so-and-so called. Is this one of your closest friends? I say, not only are they not one of my closest friends, I've never heard of them before. Because if they're one of my closest friends, they would have my cell phone number, right? Well, listen, if you're a friend of God, you have his number. I have God's cell phone number, by the way. Do you want it too? It's 911. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But here's what I love about what Paul is saying. He says, I want to know him. But then he goes on to acknowledge he has a long ways to go. Look at verse 12. It's not like I've already attained or I'm already perfected. Here is the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians of all time, saying that he had not attained. If anyone could have thought he had arrived somehow, it was Paul. He led countless people to faith. He established churches. Miracles were performed by his hand. He wrote epistles that we now regard as scripture. And yet he realized he had so much to learn and so far to go. If anyone could have rested on his laurels, it was Paul, but he did not, nor should we. Number four, if you want to be a new you in this coming year, you need a clear objective and focus. You need a clear objective and focus. Verse 13, Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, pressing forward to the things that are before. This one thing I do. David had that same focus and mentioned it in Psalm 27. He said, one thing I've asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, and I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's that one thing. Do you have that focus in your life? See, the way to do this is you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and you run this race to win. So let's review what we've seen and wrap this up. Number one, if you want to be a new you in this coming year, run to win. Number two, get rid of extra weight. Replace bad habits with good ones. Number three, plan on success, not failure. Number four, have a clear objective and focus. Now here's another principle on being a new you. Number five, don't look back. Notice Paul says in verse 13, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are before. Don't look back. Now, look, there is a place for reflection. I don't think it's a bad idea to look back on the year and reflect on what God did. When the Israelites were to cross the Jordan River, when they got to the other side, God told them to stack a bunch of stones there as a place to remember, to mark what God did. And then when their children would see those stones in later years and ask about them, they would say, those are there as a monument, remembering what God did for us. So it's good to think back on what God has done. It's fine to revisit the past. Just don't live in it. And some people do live in the past. They're like in a time warp in the way that they think, in the way that they dress. I meet people that come up to me and say, hey man, remember the Jesus movement? And that was a great time back in the 70s. God was at work. But you know, now they're like in their 60s and they're saying, remember the Jesus? I remember it. It was great. Yeah, man, I remembered you when you had hair. Far out, man. Yeah, okay, you know, right. But that was a long time ago. And guess what? God is at work today. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing right now. Aren't you? The work he's doing in lives, especially young people. God is at work. So don't live in the past because God's still working in your life. William Shakespeare said, quote, what's past is prologue, end quote. A prologue is the beginning of a story. Your story is still being told. My story is still being told. Our story is still being told. You may be in the beginning of your story. You may be in the middle of it. You may be nearing the end of it, but it's a story that God is writing. So let's not live in the past. There's still more to do. But another thing I would say about forgetting the past is you need to forget past sins and no longer be controlled by them. Verse 13, Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind. Now, this word forget does not mean to fail to remember. It means no longer be influenced or affected by it. God says in Hebrews 10, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That is not suggesting that our God is having a lapse in memory. What God is saying is, I will no longer hold their sin against them. Their sins can no longer affect their standing with me or influence my attitude toward them. So here's what we need to keep in mind. To forget means we break the power of the past by living for the future. Let me repeat that. To forget, forgetting the things that are behind, I break the power of the past by living for the future. Maybe you've been crippled by past failures, past sins. You have your regrets. Listen, it's not so serious to make a mistake as it is to repeat it. So learn from your mistakes and fail forward. What does that mean? It means don't keep doing the same stupid things over and over again. Forget those things and put them behind you. You know, Jesus made an interesting statement. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Well, why would I want to remember Lot's wife? Well, you recall the story in the book of Genesis. His wife and her husband Lot were living in Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked city. God told them he was going to judge it. And he sent angels to deliver them from Sodom and Gomorrah. But they didn't want to leave. Especially Lot's wife. And the angel warned them, when you're leaving the city, don't look back. So Lot and his children left the city, but Lot's wife couldn't resist, and she just looked back. And by the way, it wasn't just a casual glance. It was a deliberate look. A better translation of it would be, she looked with longing. Have you ever looked with longing at someone or something? You know, if you're a car guy, it's a cool car in the showroom. If you're a girl that likes clothes, it's that great outfit on the mannequin in the mall. If you're an animal lover, it's a cute little doggy in the front window of the pet store. If you're a glutton, it's the freshly made donuts. I don't know. But you look with longing. Say, man, I want that. I want that with all of my heart. And that's how Lot's wife looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. She looked with longing. She couldn't let it go. And that's how some people look at this world. I mean, they're in church, but they're saying, I really want to be doing that. Do you really? Because she looked back. And what happened to her? The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. The first step to going backwards is looking backwards. You ever try to drive your car watching your rearview mirror? Let me put it another way. Have you ever had a police officer behind you? If you notice, no matter how slow you are going, you're going to slow down even more. And I think cops just like to mess with our minds sometimes because they'll just kind of pull up and then they'll slow down. Everybody slows down. No one wants to pass a cop. So they're slowing. Now the speed limit's 50. They're going 35. We're going 25 now. It's just no one wants to pass the cop because, man, he lights you up and insurance rates go up with it, you know? So you're looking maybe backwards. You're looking in your rearview mirror. If you're looking at the old life or looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, it's going to slow you down in the race of life. And my final point, number 6, you must press on even when it gets hard. You must press on even when it gets hard. Listen, it's not easy being a Christian, is it? I'll take it a step further. It's impossible to be a Christian without the help and power of the Holy Spirit in my life. So I need God's help to live this life. And there are times when the temptations are strong or the obstacles are great and you wonder if you can go on another day. And the answer is you can, but press on. And really the picture Paul is giving is of an athlete. Think of the Greek Olympic Games, and here's this guy on the last lap of the race, and he's exerting himself. Every muscle is straining, and he can see the ribbon, and pain is racking his body, but he only has a little further to go. Better to have a few moments of pain than a lifetime of regret. So he presses on. She presses on. That's what we need to do. This is not the time to back off or slow down. So I don't know how you've done in this last year. And maybe you've stumbled in some way spiritually. You've messed up. Well, good news. God gives second chances. Hit the reset button. Make a recommitment to him. He'll forgive you. But maybe there are some of you here that don't even know the Lord in a personal way yet. You know about God, but you don't really know God. Listen, when you're a real Christian, you will know that you know. And so if you are asked the question, are you a Christian? You have to think about it. I would suggest you probably aren't. Because when you have Christ in your life, you know. That'd be like asking me, Greg, are you married? Not really sure. There's this woman that lives in my house. She's really cute and cooks for me. And no, you'll know if you're married, right? And you'll know if you're a Christian. So if you're not sure right now, if you're a real Christian, if you're not sure right now that your sin is forgiven, if you're not certain right now that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. Let's get that cleared up. I said earlier, we're all living out our story. You may be in the beginning, you may be in the middle, and you may be at the end and not even know it, you see? Because you don't know when life is going to end. That's why we want to live each day as though it were our last day and live for the glory of God. Then you have nothing to fear, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. Only the Christian can say that. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to forgive you of your sin, why don't you do that right now? What an amazing way to start a new year. And if you've fallen away from the Lord or you've stumbled in some way in this last year, you can recommit yourself to him right now. So in a moment, we're going to pray. And if you want Christ to come into your life and you want him to forgive you of your sin, respond to this invitation and pray with me. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us and then to rise again from the dead. And now I pray for those that are here, those that are watching, who may not yet know you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would convict and convince them of their sin, of their need for Jesus, and help them to come to you. Now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, are there any out there right now that would say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want my sin forgiven. I want to know for certain that I'll go to heaven when I die. Pray for me. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. If that's your desire, wherever you're sitting, I want you to raise up your hand and I'm going to pray for you. You want Christ in your life. You want to know him, not just know about him. You want to go to heaven when you die. Raise your hand up. I'll pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You that are watching the video screen, you raise your hand up. I can't see you there, but God sees you. You take this little step, raise your hand too. You want Christ in your life. Raise your hand where I can see it. God bless you. While our heads are still bowed, maybe some would say, man, I messed up in this last year. I've stumbled. I've done things I'm ashamed of, and I'm ready to make a recommitment to Christ today. Pray for me. If that's your desire, if you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand up wherever you are? Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless each one. Anybody else? Raise your hand up where I can see it. God bless you guys. All right, now while our heads are still bowed, I want all of you that just raised your hand to stand to your feet. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just stand up. Everyone that raised their hand, stand to your feet. Even if you did not raise your hand, but you want to make this commitment or recommitment to Jesus, stand up. Stand up. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Stand up. Don't be embarrassed. You that are watching the screen, stand up. Wherever you are, wherever you hear me, if you need to make this commitment or recommitment, stand to your feet. Doesn't matter if I see you, God sees you. And this is a prayer to him. Anybody else? You just know you need to do this. Do it now. One final moment. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you that are standing. Now, you that are there standing, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. I want you to pray this out loud after me. Again, as I pray, pray this out loud. right where you are. Pray this now. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're a Savior who died on the cross for my sin. I turn from that sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.